Church is sometimes referred to as a schoolhouse. And this morning, we're going to study rather than preach. I'm asking a little favor of you, that as a little piece of paper is passed out by Nathaniel, that you'll take this paper and put in either a yes or no. Now, that's not a big assignment. Just write yes or no, not both. And so, Nathaniel, if you will give the papers, and I'll give the pencils or the pens. You all ought to have a pen anyway when you come to church. Who needs a pen to write a yes or a no? How about it? You need a pen? So, I'm glad to see all of you. And before we start worship, we do things like this once in a while. Now, how about back here? How are you living, Stephen? Very simple, but it's a thoughtful question. Just for thinking. Thank you, Nathaniel. Let's suppose tomorrow, as you go to work, or your neighbor, or your school, that you meet a person at break or lunchtime, and you begin to talk, and of course you want to bring in the Lord Jesus, and conversation remains, oh, I'm a Christian. You say, well, that's great. Let me ask you, on what basis are you a Christian? Well, I can tell you this much. There are matters that I really believe, and I believe such things as Jesus Christ is the Savior. I believe He was God-man. Now, she's talking to you, or he's talking to you. I believe He was God-man. I believe He was crucified. I believe He was buried, and He rose again, and He ascended, and He's coming back. You say, well, that's just wonderful. The question is, do you think that person is a Christian? Yes or no? Keep it to yourself. Don't sign any names. And if you'll just put your answer, yes or no. What's the question again, please? The question is, you're talking to a stranger and you talk about spiritual matters, and the person gives indication that they are a Christian. And so he said, you say, well, what basis do you believe that? He said, well, I believe that Jesus is the Savior. And I believe that He's not only a Savior, I believe that He's a God-man. And as also a God-man, I do believe also that He was crucified. And He was buried. And He rose again. And He ascended. And He's coming back. Do you believe that person is a Christian? Yes or no, and it's put in this box. That's all. That's no big assignment. Just for thought provoking. Just thought provoking. Nobody's business. No names, please. No names. You're not ready yet, Derek? Okay. I'm going to reach over it. Thank you. Do I have one for Mom? I'll put mine in so we're fair. Bob, you didn't get one. Speak up.
I wanted to ask you, is this a trick question?
Not really. I don't like to trick people. Now, did you get done? Well, we're giving an announcement. I wonder if somebody would put the yeses on one pile and the noes on the other pile. You do that. Just right in this chair.
Here's Bob's.
Just drop it in, Bob.
Might be the swing vote.
Then I said put one in, too.
only way to start a church service, isn't it?
Yes.
But it's in the old days, it used to be Sunday morning service was study. I'm going to drop this in here somewhere. Study. And people came with their brains intact. They didn't come to be entertained. They come to be learn something. Now we only have a good time praising the Lord. I trust. All right, well, the hand is doing that. Announcements. We're planning on even service, as you well know, but I haven't heard from Brother Rook. I hope he's well enough to come. If not, well, we'll go on with our evening service anyway. Wednesday, I want to continue on this area of these three divine gifts that God has given to the church and to all who know Christ. That is faith, hope, and love. I hope to deal with Wednesday night, the Lord willing, that love and faith is the object of what? What's the object on Wednesday night of love, hope, and love? What is the object of hope and love that is pronounced in this passage? Now, I'm not going to rush you, but we're going to enter now into a worship service. So, Hannah, whenever you're done, you tell me how many yes and how many no's when we get to that time. And so as we enter into worship service this morning, may I remind you that we're to come and we're to let us worship. We're to bow down in our hearts and before our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. And with that, let's sing some hymns that have to do with hope. And that is, Come, Let Us Sing of a wonderful Love, 669.
Wonderful love dwells in
seeking to be a lowly and humble learner of thee. Now that's, maybe the Lord will bless us in learning this morning. 224. Let's hail, give hail to the Lord's anointed. 224. Now the hymn, Christ of All My Hopes, the ground, 437. Christ of All My Hopes, 437.
Oh,
please turn to Roman numeral 12 in the front of the hymn book. We have a creed. It's an old creed. And it does portray classic historical Christianity, at least some of its basics of historical Christianity. I wonder if you'll read with me, treating punctuations as periods of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Now, our Father, through your providence, your goodness, you have allowed us or given us the desire to be here. We pray that thy Spirit would be pleased to work in our lives so it'll be a profitable time. Yes, that it might even be to count for eternity and to speaking to our hearts. Help us to have ears to hear this morning, Father. Eyes to see the great truths that are here in your precious book, your word, the infallible word of God, verbal and plenary inspiration, every word and the entirety of the Bible. This is what we say is our guide for faith and practice. And so may this morning, this precious book, as it is the living word, in that it is powerful, it's alive, even as our blessed Lord Jesus, he is the living word also, and he is alive, making intercession for us. Our blessed Lord, we pray for help. We pray that he would give us concern for our spirits, our souls, and our bodies, and that this morning may be a time of worship and a time of instruction and coming to know more of the precious truths that are found in your word. For we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus, who loved us and gave his life for us. Amen. Please be seated, and let's sing another hymn before we do some studying. And that is, Draw Me Nearer, 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 Blessed Lord. It's 713, I'm sorry.
Draw me nearer.
Now let us please turn to the book of Colossians, the letter of the Apostle Paul to that little tiny church in southwestern Turkey, a little place called Colossae. Colossians chapter 1. And we're in that area before we get to the real body of this book where he is bragging on them a little bit. You know, you can brag on church a little. If the world brags upon their own and got the best TV channel there is and so forth. And Paul's bragging, I believe, by the Spirit of God. And we've dealt with these first three verses. And I want to start now in chapter 1, verse 4. He's saying to the church, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which ye have to all the saints for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye have heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. May the Lord bless the reading and the study of this passage as we consider this matter of hope, and as hope is the foundation or fountain for faith and love, I'd like to look at what is the purpose of faith, hope's faith, what is the purpose and the object of faith, and it is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, faith, as it portrays here, has to do with knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Hope has to do with eternal salvation. And love has to do for one another, for the brethren. These areas we want to spend a little time. Because it does seem somewhat, in my mind, to be unnecessary to be taking time to define words. I mean, everybody knows this. Why do you take your time? Let's go on. And I do feel that way, but I got news for you. As I'm getting older, I find people don't have the same definitions. And this word hope, which is the fountain of love and faith, it's a word that is used, I believe, incorrectly today, and we can apply through our culture and our educational background a meaning of that word which is not biblical. It is not wishful thinking. I hope that someday I'll find some place where some of the men who lived here years ago, they were brothers, that they might stash away a bundle of money somehow. I read in just recently in the news, they were taking, remodeling something, and sure enough, they found a bundle of money. Perhaps you heard it also. You made hope for that, but it probably never happened. We have situations, like I say, I got a dear one that's sick, cancer, whatever, and say, I really hope that that person will get over the cancer. But they don't. You see, that's wishful thinking. You can hope for a lot of things. I hope that I get a good job and good paying job. I hope I get a good spouse, you know. I hope I have influence. And you say, well, some of us never have any of those things, huh? Some of us are very fortunate. I think sometimes we take for granted for a lot of things that happens to us. I just give it to you as a off the collar, so to speak. But there is an intellectual idea today, a tendency. In fact, if we say, now let us study this morning the word hope, there's a part of us that said, oh my word, do we have to listen to that? I already know what that is. That's hostile. That's anti-intellectualism. And it's found in the educational world, and it's found in churches. Don't bother me with theology. I just want to, you know, I want to just know the Lord and feel His presence. That's all I want. Well, this passage before us would say, now listen, if you're going to brag on you, you've got to show some evidence that you're a Christian. And facts are having a hard time these days. Well, who wants to talk about facts? We can talk about opinions. And we are big on that. We can just say it's my opinion and we give our big opinion, but it's usually the same thing over and over. You heard it on TV. I remember one time I was in sales and I was stopping this farmer and I couldn't believe it. He just went kept going like this. It was just as he took everything in the channel on TV, and he was giving it all back to me just like that. And doing a great job. I was amazed. Just repeating what he heard on TV. Some of us are like that. Facts are not necessarily given. We just take what I just saw it on TV. I read it in the paper. I read it in a magazine. Well, does it make it so? Christian Standard for Faith and Practice is this blessed book, the Word of God. If you don't believe that, you're in the wrong place. But that's what this... And then people will do this. They criticize you for something they don't even know anything about. Because they have a biased opinion. Oh, I don't even... Brethren, that is not right of a Christian. Don't criticize them. It doesn't take much brains to be a critic and criticize something you don't even know what you're talking about. Especially if you get on the matter of definitions and what it really means. So, and I say to you, I'm grateful when I hear people, and I'm not bragging on anybody, but when I hear homes that are going to educate their own children, that's something they used to do in the old days. Yes, sir. What's happened to the education in our homes? Oh, well, I got to work. I got a job. I don't have time to have devotions. We're just busy people. Uh-huh. Yeah. You know, we're going to have to give an account. Christians are going to give an account of the judgment too also. You mean Christians are going to be judged? Oh, yes. Well, I thought that was just for the lost. No, Christians have a judgment day coming too. What we've done here on earth. Whether we receive condemnation or commendation or whether that we say, well, you didn't do very well. You were earthly minded. You were not very heavenly minded. And I tell you, friend, take it seriously. And so this morning, let's see what we can learn. First of all, if we're going to ask the question, hope's faith, or hope and faith, what is the object of faith? And you say, well, it's quite evident. It makes that very clear here. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. Fine. And the love which we have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you stored in heaven, whereof you have heard before in the word of true, of the truth of the gospel. It is faith in God. Hope places faith in God. And then specifically, that is God the Father, and then specifically God the Son. Faith puts, it is faith in God the Father and God the Son. You see, we've been hearing for months and months in that blessed passage that our brother has given to us. And I just want to read it to you as he doesn't always give it because it's evident that we know these things. And the 11th chapter in verse 6 of Hebrews, it says this. Listen. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. That is talking about God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Powerful verse. And you say, well, God is. Another way of putting it is that God exists. He's now, he exists. God is a real personal being. He has personality, intellect, emotion, will. God does not have a body like we have. But God is living. He's a living God. And you know, today you're hearing a lot about pantheism. That God is in me. God is in everything. Everything is God. The New Agers and Hinduism and all these things is pantheism. God is in everything. That's not what the Bible teaches about God. God is personal. And he's the Father. He's the Heavenly Father. And that's so wonderful. He's the Creator. He has put the cycles into existence. Now it's coming into spring. And we're so delightful because some of us older people don't like the cold weather. And now we begin to see things growing up and we're looking for flowers. God is the one who gives us the seasons. He is the Creator. Don't be talking about pantheism and God is in everything. Sure, he is created, but just to worship everything, worship a tree or worship a dog or worship something. No, worship the God of the Bible. He is a personal God. He is a living God. And so you need to understand this before you understand what it is. What is the object of hopes? Faith? it is the Lord Jesus Christ. But you got to believe that there is a God. No man cometh on the Father but by the Lord Jesus. And we're going to get into that in a moment. And we say, Heavenly Father, our Father which art in heaven is a heavenly Father. What a blessing it is that he is one who is a father and not a servant. Remember, God is not at our beck and call. Oh, God, you must do this. Oh, God, you must do this. And I snap my fingers and you've got to do that because you're God. No, he doesn't. And you know, that is something. You say, I don't know why God didn't do that. Apparently he didn't pay attention to me. No, all things are working for the good to them that are called. And you see, brother, don't get excited if your prayers aren't answered. God has his ways. He's working. All right, so you have to have faith in God. Yes, if you want to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But you need to know, have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where we want to center in this morning, about faith. And we say, well, Jesus saves. We sing that sometimes. Jesus saves. He does? Yes. What's he saved from? Well, he saves us from our sins. Good. What else? He saves us from a judgment. That is, the condemnation. We are no longer condemned. So Jesus saves. So what are you saying? Hope. Hope's faith is the Lord Jesus. Faith in the Lord Jesus is what it's all about. And Paul's bragging on the streets. You know something? This church, three things that I've seen in this church I heard about through Epaphras. He said they have faith, and they have hope, and they have love. He said, brethren, that is tremendous. I wonder, if I may deviate for a moment, I wonder if they could say that about us as a church. That we're a people that have faith. And we have faith for the future. We have faith in God the Father. And he's our Father. And by the way, is it evident? It's one thing to talk these things. Talk is cheap. So it's one thing to say, well, he talks that way, but does he really? Is she really? And also, do you have, do you have the hope? Confidence. That's another word for hope, confidence. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Confidence in you, the hope of glory. Have confidence in God. And then have love towards one another. You know, that's a strange thing. I said to you last week, there's a difference between like and love. Say, well, I don't like that guy. I don't like her. But I love her. I love him. Something's wrong with that. That doesn't taste right. Real love doesn't operate like that. And when Christians walk in the room and say, I don't like him, I don't think you. I think something's wrong. If both of you know the Lord, you're not obeying the scriptures because it's evident. I could go on to that, but that's not my subject this morning. But, faith is not doing, it's receiving. This is a marvelous passage. You know, we get in the culture, you've got to do this. If you're ever going to mount to anything, you've got to get up and get at it and work and slave and all that stuff. And you've got to study and all that. Is it even about faith, friends? Is that which is received? It's not doing. Faith in the Lord is receiving, not doing something. You know, knowledge is necessary. Say, well, I don't like to study. I went to school 12 years. What do I need to study for? Go to church. I don't expect to study. You don't. It looks to me like you haven't read the Word of God. The Bible says particularly we're to study. Yeah, but it's praise the Lord. Yes, do that. Do plenty of that. But put on your thinking cap and find out these great truths. Because the more you understand, I want to say this to you for you to think about. The more you understand about the great truths of the Word of God, if I may say theology, the more childlike you will be. It is people who think they know everything that they don't have a childlike spirit. But the more you study the Word of God and all the great truths of the Word of God, all the teachings of the Word of God, it's humbling. And you become more childlike. And you'll say, yes, Father, I do believe. Thank you very much. I'll tell you something. I find in my old days that pride is a very harmful sin among Christians. For some reason, we think that we really are somebody, and we haven't read the Bible. So knowledge, to be like, if you want to get to heaven, you're going to have a childlike faith. And that comes from knowing the great truths. The more you know of these great truths, the more childlike you become. Are you childlike? Are you haughty? Well, knowledge is necessary. Because the Word of God says this, that the Word of God cometh by hearing. Oh, it's Romans 16. Let's Romans 10, verse 17. What a passage. You say, what are you talking about? I'm saying this, it's knowledge is necessary for faith to be operating. To faith to operate, what? Knowledge is necessary. Romans 10 and verse 17. It makes it very clear. No use arguing about the thing. And that is one. How do we understand that passage? It's a great passage. And you see, brethren, I wonder if you're hearing the Word of God. Some people say, I don't go to church. I know the Lord, but I don't go to church. I don't have to go to church. Yeah, well, breaking the law by not assembling themselves together, God's law. He says, you love me, you will keep my commandments. But in this 10th chapter of Romans, look at that verse 17. How then is faith? You're talking about faith this morning, aren't you? Yes, hope's faith. The object is the Lord Jesus. Well, fine. Then what does verse 17 have to do? Well, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Now, brethren, when you come, as my old preacher said, clean out your ears. Yeah, he did. He used to say that to us. Clean your ears out when you come to church. And he was a loving fellow. But he says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. Don't be doing your gymnastics in your head. Say, I think we need to do this. I think we need to do that. And I hope my dinner is going to burn. Oh, this week on Wednesday, I know Wednesday I have to do this. Brethren, we're going to have to give an account if we act that way in a worship service. I do believe we'll have to give an account. Preachers and those who hear the word of God, who are off somewhere in, you know, Netherlands. You need to discipline yourself. You can discipline yourself to make money. Discipline yourself to make spiritual emphasis. And you can discipline yourself to get good grades. And most of all, you got good grades. Now, discipline yourself to understand the Word of God so that when we ask those questions like I did this morning, you have an answer that's biblical. You're not too old and you're not too young. We all are to increase our knowledge. So faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And, you know, if we're going to talk about hearing the Word of God, there's different kinds of faith. Would you like to hear something about miracle faith? Look at 1 Corinthians 13. A miraculous faith. Oh, I want to hear about the miraculous faith. Yes, sirree. 1 Corinthians 13. Now, we're going to talk about faith. And we said that it cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Now, we talked about childlike faith is the more we come to know these great truths, the more childlike we should become. But yet in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I read in this great chapter of love, or as it is in the King James charity, which is the same, in 1 Corinthians 13, and that is, look at verse 2. And he said, though I have the gift of prophecy, and I understand all mysteries, come on, and on all knowledge. And though I have all faith, what kind of faith? Miraculous. Like what? So that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. But we make a big deal about somebody that says they have miraculous powers. Big deal. But it says if you don't have that love, which the Lord willing, we'll talk about Wednesday night. If you don't have that love, well, you're just kidding yourself. Oh, you may be a big shot, like some of these preachers on TV and radio. You may be a big shot. But I'll tell you something. If you don't have love, that is God's love. doesn't amount to anything. Oh, well, miraculous powers. All right. What about other kinds of faith? Well, there's a historical faith. Yes, sir. Historical faith. And we're going to look at that for a moment. And that is, if you you know all these great truths, does that mean that you're a Christian? Now, dear Hannah, how many yeses do you have there, please? And how many no's? How many yeses?
Nine.
Nine yeses. And how many no's?
Seven.
Pretty much an evenness. Well, who's right? So I'm right. You are? Well, maybe we need to think about it. Did we? Set my hat on. Been here. Got your hat on? Your student's hat? Your thinking hat? Let's go to James. And you know who you are. And I don't know who you are. Only God knows. I think you did it fast enough so there wasn't any looking around, any cheating. I don't expect any of you to cheat anyway. Now, in James, excuse me, James, let's go to chapter 2, verse 19. You say, well, I don't know about this. Well, let's go on. What was the question this morning, please, before worship service? Well, you met this individual. You're talking, you're having a pretty good time, and you get to appreciate the person, and the question comes up spiritually, and he said, yeah, I'm a Christian. You say, oh, well. And you say, well, what do you mean? Well, I believe in Jesus as a Savior. Okay. I believe he was a God-man. Wow. And I believe he was crucified, and he was buried, and he rose again, he ascended to heaven, and he's come back again. That makes me a Christian. Does it really? What does James hear? What would you get from James chapter 2 and verse 19, isn't it? It says, thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. But the last part, the devil, the demons also believe and they tremble. Now just a minute here. Just a minute. We talked about it, faith in God the Father. And all about God, and God exists, and God is, and I know all these things about God, and they know all about God. But it says the demons, they believe that too. And I do believe it, because the Bible says. Well, then the demons are all saved. No. Got to be careful now with your logic. The demons are all saved. Yeah, but there must be other verses. There are. Well, let's see whether we can learn a little more. Let's go to Matthew 7. Say, well, I don't know. That's just one verse. And you can't take one verse and just base it on one verse. And that's right. But Matthew 7. And we have this, perhaps, a question. Let's see, verse 22. I'll start with verse 21. Matthew 7. 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Get this verse 22, 23. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, Master, Master, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils or demons. And in thy name have done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. If that isn't a trembling versus, friends, when it comes to say, well, I know the Lord, he's a Christian. What do you mean he's a Christian? Well, he believes all these things. Oh, that's interesting. In fact, he may even be able to preach. Maybe give a good message. Maybe a good, a good officer of the church. Yeah. maybe able to quote scriptures like a mile a minute, and has responsible for doing a lot of great things for the Lord. Lord, I can't understand. They even emphasize, they don't just say, Lord. They say, Lord, Lord. He said, I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Well, what about Ephesians 2? You say, well, I know that verse too. But you know, we know these things, and we get so accustomed just to spouting them off. But go back to Ephesians 2. Because it's the Word of God is alive, and so you know it. But do you know, really? Are you just assuming you know it? Verses 8 and 9, beautiful. What's this have to do with anything? Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And we talked about grace. That is given to us by God. Salvation is of the Lord. He's the one that gives us sovereign grace. All grace is sovereign. And so what? By sovereign grace are you saved. It wasn't of yourself. Well, read the rest of it. It's through faith. And it's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. You say, well, I know that. Now, wait a minute. You do know that? Who's done all this? Well, contextually, it's the Spirit of God. He's the one that is operative on us. We hear the message, we hear the Word of God, and His sovereign grace ministers to us, and we're saved. And it's through faith. But it's not of yourself. Hey, I took Jesus as my Savior. You take Him too. Excuse me. Careful now. Decisional salvation is not really taught in the Bible. No, it's not. It's a gift of God, not of yourselves. It's not of works. Well, I think that we ought to be careful what we eat. I think we should eat kosher food. I think that we ought to observe the festival days. I'm getting to understand if you don't observe Christmas or Easter, you're not a Christian anymore. If you observe those days, then that puts you right up there of being a Christian. Yeah, I get that attitude. They don't observe Easter. They are Christians. They must be some cult. But 52 times a year we've mentioned about, at least in contextually, about the death and the buried resurrection of Jesus Christ. You need to believe in Christ. We believe in the incarnation, God in the God-man. But you see, this is the area you see. I don't want to study this. I don't like this. See, that's it. You got in the cultural attitude of the day, anti-intellectualism. I don't want to be bothered. I have learned that. I don't need that. You're going to stand before God. You may wish that you'd learned some of these things. So you can say, Lord, Lord. So you are a nice person. The religion of the day is that there are some religions that teach you to be a nice person. You say, well, are you against that? No. But that's works. Say thank you. Tell her thank you. Tell him you're sorry. You hear me? Well, that's not. We can be taught to be nice people and to be courteous. We were in the presence of Japanese. Yes. Boy, they're really. Man, they really go at it. If you think you have some etiquette, if you think you know what it is to be polite, you'll take a few lessons from the Japanese. And these cults, they have many good things. But if you just peel the onion back a little bit, you'll find that they do not really believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Bible portrays Him. It may take you a little time getting there. I tell you, friends, you know, there was a fellow by the name of Simon Magnus. Boy, he was a religious guy. Baptized. Pretty smart fellow. Probably an A student. And he wanted to get the power of the Spirit, which the apostles had, And he wanted to pay something for it. So I'll give you some money for this. And what's said about him? The Word of God says that we see in the gall of bitterness and bond of iniquity. A big shot religious person was told by the apostle that he was in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. And so Ephesians 2:8, it's an operation of the Holy Spirit of God. So you see, works don't save us. That's what Ephesians 2:8 makes it very clear. In fact, 1 John has students. Students turn to 1 John because we need to look at chapter 5. For what reason? Well, works won't save us, but in 1 John chapter 5, look at verses 10 through 12 as a cross-reference. What's it say? 1 John chapter 5 and verses 10 through 12. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now, you can't make it any more clear than that. That's bottom line stuff, as far as the Bible is concerned. And yet there are people, in light of that passage, that they don't relegate Jesus Christ, the Lord, as really being supreme. They would say, yes, we believe he was a prophet. Yes, we believe he was a good teacher. Yes, we believe he was a light from heaven. But they will not believe that he is the man, God-man. God incarnate. And it says here, well, that just puts you in a category that if you haven't come to a place where you see that Christ is the Savior, and they haven't seen him as a believer. You know, this matter of hope, that's a driving force. That is a driving force. That drives faith. That drives love. That's the eternal thing. That is not a hope so. That is what God puts in people who know, who are born again. Hope is only for the saved. I guess I need some water. Please. I don't know. I didn't anticipate that I'd have this morning, annoying you. But it is only born again people. Only the redeemed of God has hope. Otherwise, it's just wishful thinking. Now, if you don't have, I have, brother, that. I have a whole pocket of them, but they don't do the job. I mean, in fact, they think they do worse. Thank you, brother. I appreciate your thoughtfulness. But you say, well, he has hope. If he has hope, it's been God-given. And it puts in it's a power. It's power from heaven. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's a certainty. And you say, well, I don't care what happens. What do you mean? Well, it's like Romans 8, the last part there. Dear friends, you say, I can't understand how people would go to the and were burned at the stake and could do like they did. It just is impossible. It doesn't make any sense. He said, that's right. Doesn't make any sense. But oh, dear brethren, it is true. If you look at the last part, Romans 8, you talk about the power of hope. Well, verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of God, love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded, well, this is where hope comes in, I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Brethren, if you don't think that hope is a blessed grace of God given to us by the Spirit of God in being a new born again and putting that hope in our hearts, that all these things that you can talk, I don't know what I'm going to do. What do you mean you don't want to do? Well, if I got an incurable disease, I don't know how I'd handle that. You don't. And I'm afraid to die. You are. Brethren, I've got to tell you in all kindness, you don't have hope. You have wishful thinking, perhaps. You may be religious. You may give an affirmative to all the great truths of the Bible. But if you don't have this blessed hope, this divine grace that God gives, so that you can face whatever comes down the pike. Now, I'm not saying you won't have pain and sorrow. I'm not saying that the chances are we are going to have it, and disappointments. I'm not saying that at all. I think that we can expect that, because in this life we shall have tribulation. I'm not looking for it. I don't want it. Don't ask for it. But if it comes, then if we have hope, which is God given to the redeemed of God, then, brethren, we can take Romans 8 and say, in confidence, not presumption, but that down deep in your heart, you say, I love you, Lord Jesus. You've been so good to me. And Spirit of God, thank you. And wherever we're going, whether it's to the valley or whatever it is, you promised you'd go with me. I'm going to trust you. He said, that's presumption. No, I have that confidence. Thank God for hope. And hope will give you faith. And faith not only will give you faith, it will give you love of the brethren. I tell you, this is a great subject. And you know, I just want to say this in closing. There's a warped kind of thinking about hope in the church today. And I still want to say to you, you say, well, I don't understand. I had hope that we could have children. Can't have any children. I had hope that I could get a job employed that would pay something, so that we can get a lot of conveniences, but that hasn't materialized. I had hoped that perhaps that my relatives and the mine collapses back in Caltmont, my wife's folk who had mine collapses, they hoped that they would be alive when they came out. Some of them did. But these things happen to us, brother. And you need to be ready for it. And if you hear the story that you have a terminal disease of some sort, you want to pray that God will heal you, but he may not. He may take you home, and to die is the gain. See, brother, you don't understand the way of God. I don't understand it, but we need to believe him. What he does is he does the right. You know, this world is like cotton candy. Never did care much for it. You like cotton candy? Some people really like it. Now, if you like it, thank you. That's fine. I don't care for it. And so I just want to say this to you. This world's like cotton candy. Oh, man, look at that. Looks abundant. Big old cone of it. That thing's not working right. And I take a bite of it, and it just seems to evaporate. If you're putting all your confidence in this culture, this world, it's like eating cotton candy. It may be sweet, and you say, well, it's pleasant, but it doesn't seem to last. Would you see there's a difference? But you see, students, you need this blessed hope, because he is coming back, and he's referred to it as that. In fact, the matter, let me kind of close out with that. Let's go to Titus, and so that we get this idea of a blessed hope, the coming of the Lord Jesus. What does that mean? It means a lot. And nothing like it here on the earth, it even comes close to what Titus is telling us in this second chapter. Look at verses 13 and 14. What are we supposed to be? Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Listen, it speaks about Christ as God, the Lord Jesus Christ as God, the Savior. It says he's coming again. And when the Lord Jesus comes again and see him face to face, as Annie Crosby put it, that someday I'll see him face to face, and Jesus blind, Yes, we come, we'll see him. It's face to face. And as we sing the song, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. My hope is built on nothing less. You can't build it upon this world. And when he comes, then your faith will be sight. Now you see him who is invisible. He said, blessed are the people who see the Lord. And he says, they're blessed because they don't see the Lord now in physically. But we'll see him, and then we'll see him as he is, glorified Savior. When he comes, he's coming back. We need to hear this again and again because we get so lined up with our schedules, we forget about the second coming of the Lord Jesus. The blessed hope is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so not only that, when he comes, all of our sin and sadness and sorrows will be gone, be done away with. And then there'll be the new heavens and the earth. And death and destroy, disease will be all destroyed. What are you talking about? I'm talking about the blessed hope, the coming of our Lord Jesus. And all the benefits is going to happen when he comes. And not only that, the devil and all and his followers, they are defeated and cast into hell. And our judgment, yes, it'll be a judgment, I trust, to be well done, thy good and faithful servant entered in. And that is, we have this written, our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Won't that be something? Some people would fight about church membership as being a scriptural thing, which I don't think it is. But if you have your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, hey, friends, that's what counts. That's what counts. And hope, that'll give it to you. You know, I drive past the cemetery just like you do. Won't it be something when we see loved ones come out of those graves in glorified bodies? Oh, Lord, you don't mean that. He said, I really do. What do you mean, Lord? He said, I'm telling you, these bodies are gonna rise again. And when they come out of those graves, they'll be glorified bodies. You mean some of my relatives, some of my loved ones, some of your folk, that we'll see them? And I'll see me perhaps if I go before you do and the Lord comes? Yes. I look forward to the resurrection. What's it mean to you? Oh, I'll go to the funeral. And he talks about the resurrection. That's all I know. Oh, come on. Be a better student than that, please. And so if we're going to talk about the resurrection, let me make a statement like Paul did. He said in closing, but I want to go to 1 Corinthians 15, just a couple passages. Oh, why? I want you to see something here. This whole thing is based on the truth of the resurrection, friends. And 1 Corinthians 15, that great resurrection chapter that you ought to read, not just hear it at the funerals, but 1 Corinthians 15, just a few verses, starting at verse 3. Why? If Christ wasn't resurrected, then all this time we spend this morning is a big waste. Did he rise from the dead? Look at this blessed passage, verse 3. Paul writing, by the Spirit of God, for I delivered unto you first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and after that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto the present, but some of them have died, have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, and then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also as of one born out of due time, as Paul speaking about himself. Oh, brethren, yes, he was crucified, buried, and he, on the third day, was raised again. That's well-founded hope, my friends. That's hope's faith. It is the object of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what the object of faith is this morning? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Is he your substitute? Did he take your place? Did he take your sins? Did he take your hell? Did he take your punishment? Well, Romans makes it very clear. While we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. The faith in the Lord Jesus Christ In Him alone is the answer. It's time to sing. Let's turn to that last hymn. 582. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus, blood and righteousness. 582. Sing a cappella. Let's start it. He'll find it.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other
heard amply this morning that our blessed Lord Jesus is the solid rock, yes, and that this hope is like an anchor that's steadfast and sure, and the storms of life can rage, but you put that hope in our hearts, you give us that faith, you save us, born us again, give us a new birth, give this continuance, we pray that you would this morning, each of us. For those of our loved ones who know not Christ savingly, we pray that thy Spirit would work in their lives. We pray for them. And now, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you.
Well, the bell has rung and the period's over according to the clock, but if you have a question or two, maybe we can, a thought perhaps you'd like to give before we go home.
I find it interesting that in verse 4 and 5, that their faith and their love is a result of their hope laid up in heaven. So if we find it hard to love, to be the loving spirit, first dwell upon your hope in heaven, one, in realizing how great it is and how you obtained it undeservingly, and just how you were undeserving of Christ's love. A lot of people are undeserving of love, but nonetheless we can be in the right mindset to give love because we realize we were just like them.
That's good exposition. Thank you, brother. Yes.
You mentioned that even the demons or even the devils believe. In the list of facts that you gave in association with that question at the beginning, perhaps some thought that the fact that they believe in his return was enough to give an indication that they are probably a Christian, but even the devils believe in that return, because when the Lord was doing his miracles, the legion, questioned his activity or his arrival there because they said it wasn't yet time. So they know that their time is appointed for destruction.
Yes.
I think there should be a kind of a willingness to, when a person professes something that you kind of would like to believe that they are, but I ran into a fellow a few years back, and I got out of my car. It was a stranger, and he said to me, isn't this a wonderful day that the Lord has made, God has made, and he said some things, and I was very hopeful. I thought, well, maybe I run across a brother, and I got to talking to him. Within about 15 minutes, I found that he actually did not believe that Jesus Christ was, he was a Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah. Yes. We need discernment. Well, I'm 3 minutes late, but let's say amen, shall we? I want you to know I appreciate that.